throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that Christ rested in the Holy Spirit's work and care. Now it gives us, by the way, a wonderful example in how to live our Christian life, because without a doubt, all of us today need the Spirit's direction and guidance in our life. We need the Spirit of wisdom, we need the Spirit of understanding, we need the Spirit of counsel, and we need the Spirit of God's might in our life. We need all of these things if we're going to be successful in the Christian life. And yet we notice the purpose of the Messiah. He was the anointed one, but he was anointed for a specific role, for a specific purpose. And as we read the Bible, we notice kings and prophets and priests could all be anointed to signify that they were set apart for a specific role. And Jesus, the Son of God, had a specific role. We know that he would die on a cross for our sins. He would give his life so that we could have life. And we notice right away in the book of Isaiah, his message. His message. The Bible says he was to preach good tidings unto the meek. The thought here is of a messenger who comes with a favorable message. He's coming with a message of hope. Our world would seem to be hopeless today, but I'm glad there's hope in the Lord. And he comes with a message of hope, the message of the gospel. Turn with me, if we could go back to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, and notice what the Bible says in verse 27. Isaiah 41 and verse 27. Isaiah 41, verse 27, the Bible says, "The first shall say to Zion, Behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings." The Messiah came with a message of good tidings. Now, the gospel means good news or good tidings. And what is the gospel? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, here writing to the church at Corinth, he says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." This is the gospel message. Verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is indeed good news. Because of our sin, we are lost and separated from God. And Jesus died for us and as us so that we could have eternal life. We notice not only his message is a message of good news, but also we notice his ministry. The ministry of the Messiah would bring peace and security to those who come to the Lord. We see, first of all, that he heals the brokenhearted. Now, we know that sin causes broken hearts today. We see it all around us. "For death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Look around us. Look around the world today. What do you see? You see hurting people. Hurting people everywhere. I mean, watch the news. What do you see? You see hurting people, burdened people, heartbroken people. And yet Jesus came to repair that heartbroken condition because of our sin. And maybe this morning you're struggling with a broken heart. Maybe this morning your heart aches because of loss, or maybe your heart aches because of disappointments in your life. Friend, listen, Jesus wants to heal that broken heart today. The psalmist said this in Psalm 147, verse 3, The Bible says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. We see not only does He heal the brokenhearted, but He also frees the captives. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 in our Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says He opens the prison door to those that are bound. The Scripture says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's a wonderful story in the Bible of Paul and Silas. They're preaching in Macedonia. And of course, the religious leaders of the day don't like the message they're preaching. They throw them in a jail cell. And the Bible says a Philippian jailer is given the charge to make sure that Paul and Silas don't break out of prison. And the Bible says, having received such a charge, they threw him in the inner prison because they heard some things about this man, that he seems to get out of prisons. And the Bible says at night they sang and they praised the Lord, and the door of the prison swung open, and Paul and Silas were free. They could walk away, but they chose not to walk in that freedom, but they stayed there to lead the Philippian jailer to Christ. That's a wonderful story. And yet, in a spiritual way today, Christ gives us freedom because God opens that prison door of our life that is bound by sin. And He proclaims liberty, the Bible says. And He gives us freedom from the very bonds and the chains of our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Liberty, freedom is found in Jesus Christ. And that is the ministry of the Savior, is that we have freedom in Christ. And by the way, the freedom in Jesus is not the freedom to do whatever you want. It is the freedom to do what you ought. And in Christ, we can please the Lord. I remember watching an apologist, and he was debating this atheist, and they were talking about the Christian life. And the atheist asked an important question. He said, "What can you do that I cannot?" He says, I can be good to my family. I can be good to my wife. I can provide for my family. By the way, God says if you don't provide for your own home, then you are worse than an infidel. And so he says, what can you do that I cannot? And the Christian was he didn't have an answer. He didn't know what to say. And he kind of stumbled out some words. And as I thought about that, and I meditated and read the Word of God, I wondered, what can a Christian do that an unsaved person cannot do? And here is the answer. We can please God. The Bible says, but they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But because of the freedom we have in Jesus, we don't have to walk in the flesh. We can walk in the Spirit. And through the Spirit, we can please God with our life. We can glorify God with our life. And so through the ministry of the Messiah, we see that He gives us freedom. He sets the captives free. But also He forgives sinners. Sin must be dealt with. And God is a righteous judge. And sin is a crime. And the Bible says its wage is death. But Jesus came, in our text here, notice, He came to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Now this refers to the year when slaves were freed. And land was returned to the original owners. This would happen normally on the 50th year, and it was announced by a trumpet blast and on the Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is our atonement, and through Him we can return to our original state. You see, we were once created by God for a purpose, but because of sin, we had lost that purpose. And through the Messiah, we can have that purpose again. We can have a relationship with God again. I think of that old familiar story. Maybe you've heard about it, the story of the little boy who made a toy sailboat. And he carried that sailboat everywhere. He just loved that sailboat. And one day he went out to the pond and he began watching it float in the water. And there was a gust of wind and it pulled that sailboat away from the shore. And the brokenhearted boy, he watched it as it blew out of sight. And he lost that sailboat. Several weeks later, he was walking through the town and he saw his little boat for sale in a store window. And he rushed inside and he bought that boat. And, you know, it was overheard him as he was walking. Someone could overhear him as he was walking down the street. He was saying, "You are mine twice. I made you and now I bought you." And that's the same truth with Christ. If you're a Christian today, God created us with a purpose, but that purpose was lost because of sin, but it was restored through the Messiah. And we can be His again through Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to have a relationship with Him. And all of us are in the same place. We all need forgiveness today. There's not an individual here or watching the live stream or in this country or in this world that doesn't need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness for our sins because we are lost and separated from God. We see also number four here that He comforts those that mourn. The Bible says He calls out to Jerusalem. He calls out for comfort. And we know that sin brings grief. And God's comfort is beautifully described here. Instead of the ashes of grief, the Bible says that there is beauty. And the word beauty there has in mind a beautiful crown or a head ornament. In the Bible, if you're familiar with scriptures, you'll know that in mourning, ashes would often be cast on someone's head. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And so ashes on the head was a symbol of mourning. And yet the Bible says instead of ashes on the head, there'll be a beautiful crown and there'll be oil of joy, verse 3, instead of grief, instead of heaviness of heart. No, there's a garment of praise. There's a strong, beautiful thought here of Christ, the Messiah. He's coming to help the mourners, to help those who are burdened down by their sin. And we find that because of the Messiah, that they are now a strong planted tree, that they find success and stability in Jesus Christ. And so we see the sent one. Number two, if you're writing notes, would you write it down? I want us to notice the saved ones. Not only do we notice the sent one, but we also notice the saved ones. The Savior will wash our sins away. And I hope today that you know Christ as your Savior. I hope there's been a time in your life where you've called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you are a part of the saved, a saved person, a saved individual, a redeemed individual. And the Bible says that through the work of the Messiah, we see letter A, the ruins are rebuilt. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Lives would be restored. Cities will be rebuilt through the ministry and the work of the Messiah. Because of sin, so many lives today are in ruins. Lives are in desolation. And yet, these torn down walls and cities and lives would all be restored through the work of Christ. And we see this throughout the New Testament. John chapter 8, verse number 6. The Bible says, "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them," verse 7, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Now what would he write that would convict them in their conscience? I think I know what he wrote. I think he wrote all of their sins down. And the Bible says they began to leave one by one because he began to write their sins down one by one. And when they looked down, they were convicted and they walked away. And they looked down, another one looked down and they were convicted and they walked away until there was no one left. Because listen, we can't throw stones at anyone here because we are all sinners. There's some good sinners and there's some bad sinners. But listen, at the end of the day, we're all sinners. And the Bible says that Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And the Lord said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." It changed her life when she met the Savior. The ruins were rebuilt in her life as she met the Lord. I think for a moment of Mary Magdalene, whose life was beaten down by sin. I mean, here's a woman whose life was destroyed, a life that was in ruins. And Jesus changed her life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." I mean, her whole life was composed of demonic possession. Her life was in shambles. She was a woman of the street. She had given her life to the lusts of the flesh. And yet when Jesus was nailed to a cross in John 19, 25, all of the disciples but John had ran for their life and were hiding. And yet the Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene." That man changed my life. And I'm standing right here. Because Jesus rebuilds the ruins of sin. And it begins at salvation. It begins by putting your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And it continues in sanctification. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, when you become a Christian, you change the way you think. Ephesians 4, verse 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In Christ, we have a new life. In Christ, we have a new purpose." His spirit is within us. And a new perspective changes our direction in life. You see, once we were a sinner. We were a sinner running away from God. And now we're a sinner running to God. And it changes our life. And Mary Magdalene, her life was changed, and countless others, their life was changed because of the Messiah. But this is not just individual, this is generational. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 34, "And he had brought them into his house." This, by the way, is the Philippian jailer. We talked about him. Paul didn't just rush out of the jail cell. He said, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." The Bible says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. You see, the desolations and the ruins of sin can be generations old. And yet the impact of the gospel in a home and in a life can drastically change the generations ahead. My dad was a young man living for the pleasure of the world, with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. Had no desire for church or God. And one day he was dragged to church by a friend of his, and he came to some revival meetings in a small town called Sonora, Nova Scotia. And he sat on those old wooden pews, and he heard the gospel, and he walked an aisle, and he got saved. And little did he know that it didn't just change his life that day, but it would change the life of his four children. This is generational. The work of the gospel changes lives, but it also changes the course of a home and a family. We see also that they are servants of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 5, "And the stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. And ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself in Christ." As Christians, we have indeed a holy occupation. We are declared priests. This is the priesthood of the believer. You say, what's the significance of the priesthood of the believer? Oh, there's great significance. It means you don't have to come to a man or a priest or a pope and pray and have access to God. But friend, if you're a Christian today, through the ministry of Jesus, you are a priest and you can pray directly to God and he hears your prayer. And the Bible says that through the hand of God to establish believers and to feed the flock, they stand and they feed the flock of God, and there's a presentation here of the Word of God and care for the sheep. But we also see that God will bless them. Verse 7, "For their shame shall ye shall have double." The thought there is instead of shame, they'll have double honor. Instead of the shame for sin and the grief of sin and the desolation of sin, no, they'll have honor in the ministry of Christ. "Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double; everlasting joy shall be unto them. The shame of sin will be taken away, and in his place the blessing of the Lord and the joy of the Lord." And this is not just temporal, this is everlasting. Joy forever in the presence of Christ. All right, we got to wrap this up now. We have the sent one, we have the saved ones. And now I want you to see thirdly with me the sanctified ones. The sanctified ones. You see, the ministry of the sent one leads to the saved ones, but the ministry of Christ does not end there. God continues to work in our life to make us more like him. "For it is God," the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, "for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." God's will in your life is that his will would become your will. God wants to accomplish in your life. And how is this accomplished? Well, first of all, we notice a right heart. God says in this scripture here, God says that the sacrifice without a right heart is robbery. Sacrifice without a right heart is robbery toward God. It is not justice, and God loves justice. A heart that loves him, a heart that desires to please him, it's important for us to find success in our life. God wants us today to have a heart right with him. The old preachers of the past said there's no softer pillow at night than a heart that is right with God. Do you have a heart right with God today? Are you right with God? If you're a Christian, are you right with God and your walk with Him? If you don't know the Lord today, the Bible says you're not right with God. We need to know the Lord to be right with Him. And so the Bible says, first of all, it's a right heart. But then we notice in verse 9, it's a right influence. It says in verse 9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord had blessed. This is a Christian. These are God's people. And it's interesting how they're going to know. It's interesting how they're going to know that they are the blessed people of God. It says, because they will greatly rejoice in the Lord. They will praise the Lord. They will lift up His name. I think this rejoicing is in blessing and burden. It's what the Apostle Paul said, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. My soul, be joyful in the Lord. Verse 11 says, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Because a Christian has to praise the Lord. His heart is filled with the gratefulness of God's work in their life. This is God's work, and as plants would come forth out of the ground, in the Christian's life, there's this harvest of praise for the ministry of the Messiah. And it all begins with the sent one. He has come to preach the good news, the gospel. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to free the captives in the prison of sin. He has come to forgive and to restore sinners. He comforts us and He leads us. And this leads us to the saved ones. As Christ rebuilds the ruins caused by sin, and He impacts our life, and not only our life, but generational, the lives around us. We become servants of the Lord, and God blesses our impact in the lives of other believers. But the ministry of the sent one doesn't even end there. You see, we're also the sanctified ones. And we must have a right heart and a humble heart before the Lord. And we must have a good influence. Our mouth must be thankful and praise the Lord for all that He's done in our life. Nothing turns people away from the Lord more than a grumbling, complaining Christian. We are a blessed people because of the sent one, because all that Jesus has done in our life. And His ministry continues today. But friend, listen to me. It all begins by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. I hope you've done that today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your word.